Let's turn in our Bibles to James chapter 3, James chapter 3, verse 13 through 18. We're picking up our text there today. And we'll read these verses together. Let's begin. Who is wise and understanding among you? Let him show by good conduct that his works are done in the meekness of wisdom. But if you have bitter envy and self-seeking in your hearts, do not boast and lie against the truth. This wisdom does not descend from above, but is earthly, sensual, demonic. For where envy and self-seeking exist, confusion and every evil thing are there. But the wisdom that is from above is first pure, then peaceable, gentle, willing to yield, full of mercy and good fruits, without partiality and without hypocrisy. Now the fruit of righteousness is sown in peace by those who make peace. May God bless his words to our hearts today. Hell's wisdom or heaven's wisdom? Well, beloved congregation of our Lord, from the last time, you will remember the Apostle James warned leaders to guard against that big sin, censoriousness. Censoriousness is the wrongful condemnation of people or the condemnation of people for small things. This false condemnation of others, the Apostle James taught, was injurious to the kingdom of the Lord, and it robbed God of his glory. Now, those who wrongfully condemned others or condemned them for small things, and remember, this goes back to Matthew chapter 7, judge not that you be not judged. It was saying, don't condemn people for small things. This was reflecting, those who did this were reflecting hell's wisdom instead of heaven's wisdom. And this is what you will hear about today. Our headings are three. You need wisdom to live for Jesus, number one. Not hellish wisdom, number two, but heavenly wisdom, number three. Our goals are that you will crave for and use true heavenly wisdom to make godly judgments before the world, and by doing so, you will bring honor to Jesus. First, you need wisdom to live for Jesus. You need wisdom to live for Jesus. Well, the Apostle James stated that those who thought they were wise and could make sound judgments about other people ought to prove their abilities. Who is wise? Who is understanding? Prove yourself. You know, we have the saying, the proof is in the pudding. The original saying was, the proof was in the eating of the pudding. Saying you have pudding or you could make pudding wasn't enough. You had to prove it, and that's what James was saying here. They had to show wisdom and understanding. And by the way, wisdom and understanding here are synonyms. These two words were particularly used to refer to the rabbis, the Jewish teachers of the time. But in reality, these rabbis did not always have true wisdom and understanding. Remember, wisdom is a gift of God to his children. And many of these rabbis who didn't even recognize Jesus, in fact, had him killed, were not children of God, and therefore they did not have heavenly wisdom. And they were just like the people in the Apostle James's day. Now, look at how it all comes together. These foolish leaders were quick to condemn the poor, the widow, the orphan, and the foreigners. You can imagine the words they would say about them. Well, you're poor because you're lazy. You don't have any ambition. Or you are of a lower class, you don't belong here, or you have made too many bad decisions in your life, blaming them without knowing what was right. They lacked wisdom. they lacked wisdom. If these leaders were wise, they would have shown meekness with the destitute. But in their arrogance, they assumed the worst. That's their wisdom. They assumed the worst, and you will see why in a minute. They didn't care about the evidence. They were arrogant because they lacked the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit makes you humble and gives you, you would give people the benefit of the doubt. They should have looked to the good example of Jesus and his meekness. Remember when the disciples said, chase those children away. He said, no, let the little children come to me. It's one of the reasons we welcome children in the church here, not send them away. The Lord had conversations with alcoholics, people who were drunkards. He ate with them. He met with the poor, the poorest of the poor. He listened to the prostitute. He even helped a Roman centurion. The Romans were the most hated people in Israel because they were occupiers. And Jesus healed the centurion's servant. He didn't assume the worst about them. You see, in the Lord's kingdom, there was always room for all kinds of people. The former drug addicts, he didn't chase them away. The prostitute, the poor. If their hearts were penitent, they were welcomed. He even had a tax collector as one of his... The most hated Jew would have been a tax-collecting Jew, because he was taking money and sending it to Rome, and the Lord welcomed them. There was always room in God's kingdom. Look at what the Lord said. Matthew chapter 5, verse 5. In the Sermon on the Mount, he said together, blessed are the meek, for they shall inherit the earth. That submission, that humility. Matthew 11, 29, together. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I am gentle and lowly in heart, and you will find rest for your souls. He's saying, look, I am humble. Learn from my example. So the first call here is you've got to have God's wisdom. You need wisdom to be able to make good judgment. If you just look at people on the outside, you'll make bad judgments. What lessons can we learn here? Three things, first of all. First, there's a big difference between those who are pretending to be wise and those who are truly wise. Don't be fooled. Some people have stats and numbers, and they will throw things at you, and you think, oh, that person really is wise. We find out that many of those things can be manipulated. Don't be fooled, because if you're fooled by foolish people who pretend to be wise, that's harmful to you, to your family, and to your friends. So identify those who are truly wise. We'll come to that in a minute. Second, you will know a wise man not only by the things he says, but also in the way that he says it. He will not be arrogant. He will not talk down. The wise man's words will be instructive and healing. His words will never advocate the harming of others, but his words will promote the work of the kingdom of God. Of course, you will see that the man who's truly wise will have good actions as well. But that's not what the Apostle James is addressing here. He's addressing these bad teachers who are ignoring people who didn't fit into the category that they expected to be in the church, particularly people who would help them and bring some personal advantage to them. So he's rebuking those who are unwise in their speech. But you understand actions are required as well. The third thing to remember here is this. Knowledge without wisdom will make you proud. Knowledge with wisdom will make you humble. Because you will realize other people need that wisdom. They need that instruction. And you'll be humble in your presentation of that wisdom to others. But let's move to the second point. First, you need wisdom. And these men lacked wisdom. Well, what kind of wisdom did they have? Well, they had a kind of wisdom, but it was hellish wisdom. These leaders show their wisdom was from hell, and they showed it in three particular ways. In their mind, wisdom was, to start with, envy. He says in verse 14, bitter envy. They were welcoming the rich into the church and ignoring the poor. You see what was behind that. They didn't have real wisdom, but they had a lot of envy. Wisdom here was doing whatever put more money in their pockets. That was wisdom for them. Can you imagine that? You know, you'd use that expression, oh, he's really smart. Well, because he makes more money. That's the world's wisdom. And that's why they rejected the poor man who came into the church, the widow, the orphan, and the foreigner, because they're thinking about themselves. They thought by welcoming the rich, that was the smart way to getting some personal advantage. Can you imagine how this would hurt the poor who came in and got ignored because they didn't have money? Second, he identifies foolishness, the false wisdom, the hellish wisdom, with those who have selfish ambition. Selfish ambition is simply working for oneself. So these foolish leaders welcome the rich and ignore the poor. They condemn anyone who could not work for their advantage. Now, can you imagine how this deceived and hurt the rich? The rich people needed to hear the truth, not accommodation, and say, well, come on in. We know your life is not particularly good, but I could get some money out of you, so you're welcome. That deceived the rich. That hurt them as well. Then the third way in which they showed that hellish wisdom, there was unending boasting and lying. And this is written in continuous action. Boasting and lying flowed from envy and selfish ambition. There was the desire to seem to be richer and to be self-promoters, so they boasted. So hell's wisdom says, lie to get your way. Lie to get more money in your pocket. You know how it works. I just read of one lady in the U.S. Congress who virtually had very little. And after some years in Congress, Nancy Pelosi is worth about $350 million. And you're working for a couple $100,000 a year. How do you make your money work that way? Well, there's a lot of scheming things that have been exposed. And that's how many people, they see that as wisdom because they know how to work the system and manipulate the system to get their way. And that's what some people were doing even in the church. And that's why the Apostle James was calling them out. Now, he calls it wisdom, but that you should put quote unquote with that word because it wasn't really wisdom. It was their idea of wisdom. It was their conniving ways. Hell's wisdom is actually foolishness. But what would you expect from them? Look at John chapter 8, verse 44. Let's read this together. You are of your father the devil, and the desires of your father you want to do. He was a murderer from the beginning and does not stand in the truth because there is no truth in him. When he speaks a lie, he speaks from his own resources, for he is a liar and the father of it. Why were they lying? In their father, they inherited it. They're living after the devil. So they spoke not the truth, but whatever would give them what they wanted. And in their minds, that's wise. And you know what's the background of this? The Bible says they were living for their bellies. That's another way of saying they're living for their fleshly lusts. You will see this played out in the text next time, Lord willing. Philippians chapter 3, verse 18 and 19 say together, for many walk, of whom I have told you often, and now tell you even weeping, that they are the enemies of the cross of Christ, whose end is destruction, whose God is their belly, and whose glory is in their shame, who set their minds on earthly things. They set their mind on earthly things. And that's what's driving them. Because their God is their belly, their God is their physical pleasure. Whatever will help them, that's where they're going. So is lying one of the things? Yes. It starts, though, with envy. When you envy, then eventually you want to lie to get your way, to get the things, the ordinary things in life that are drawing you. And what happens as a result? The world's wisdom always ends in disorder and sinful practices. The world's wisdom leads to anarchy and spiritual turmoil within the church because the rich have been lied to and they're made to feel that everything's okay. And then the poor are ignored, so they feel sad because of their condition, their position within the church. And you set people against each other. And it's the best way to control things and cause trouble. You stay on top, and as people do the battle on the lower level, you don't care. And that's what happens in churches if people are only thinking about themselves. So the godly were excluded from the church, and the wicked were included. And what suffers as a result? The poor, the widows, the orphans, the foreigner. Remember, one of the main reasons for the end of the Babylonian captivity was the ignoring of the poor in society. Men were taken over by these same lusts. So what are the two things that will go away when men are overwhelmed by the physical pleasures of this world? Worship. Worship is not important anymore because you can make more money working on the Sabbath. And then second, you wouldn't care about the others because why would you give money to others when you can keep it for yourself? Why give time to others? Why invite other people to your home when you could use that time for yourself? A nice long nap would be great, won't it? So you ignore others. That's the way the world works. That's their wisdom. And it's rooted in covetousness that leads to envy, that leads to lying, and all these other selfish acts. Worldliness, one man wrote, is the negating of godly wisdom. No wonder confusion comes. Any church that ignores the widows, the orphans, the foreigners, the poor, is bound to suffer. What can we learn? Four things. The foolish man who speaks arrogantly may think he is wise, but he is full of harmful words and works. Stay away from him. Don't marry a selfish man or woman. Remember, that man may have a bad father. His father may be the devil, or maybe he has left the devil's house, but not fully. He still has some of the devil's ways. And that man will lead you to sin. That's someone to stay away from. Second, if you claim to be a man or a woman of wisdom, a man or woman of knowledge, see that you show the world by living a godly life. Wisdom is seen. Remember, the whole purpose of the book of James was to show that faith in your life. Third, think now of all the TV preachers who don't want to talk about sin anymore. They talk about health and wealth and happiness. Even this past week, I saw someone talking about the wonders of olive oil. We've got preachers talking about colon cleansing as part of their sermons instead of preaching the gospel. They don't want to talk about sin anymore, about submitting yourself to Jesus Christ. You know why? That wouldn't appeal to the masses. That wouldn't bring the money in. These men lack godly wisdom. They have wisdom as the world understands it, because you have to give people what they want and the money will keep coming. That's why you have lots of big churches. And you find in the churches, keep telling the people what they want to hear. I mean, has anyone ever heard the gospel from Joel Osteen? And yet he has the largest church in North America. Church. We'll put that in quotes as well. The gospel is missing. Sin is absent. But you tell people how to get along, how to live well, how to make money. These are people to avoid. They will make you physically poor because they always want your money, and spiritual poor because you will never get the gospel from them. Third thing is this. Set your mind on heavenly wisdom, not on your belly. See, if you think of the physical pleasures of this world, you necessarily will not be able to focus on the heavenly things. And when I say your belly, I mean all fleshly things, all the comforts of life. If those things drag you, they will drag you away from God. And you'll be drawn to them like a moth to a flame, because the more you get, the more you'll want. How often have you found a rich man who's saying, no, that's too much money, I don't want any more money? And it's kind of interesting, too, that the stats show that rich people give a lower percentage of their money than poor people. It tells you something. Well, let's come to our third point then. We need wisdom, number one. But the wisdom of this world, so-called wisdom, is actually foolishness. Because it's grounded in envy that results in you lying and scheming and worshiping false gods and telling people everything's okay when it's not. What you need is heavenly wisdom. That's verse 17. God's wisdom was what the people of James's day needed. Why? Because God's wisdom, look at the list of things now. God's wisdom was pure. God's wisdom is free from corrupt motives. So you're not doing something because of what you can get back from the people. You're not welcoming people because they've got money or they've got influence or they will give you a job or they have a nice cottage. You're doing it because it will please God. It means to have a sincere moral and spiritual integrity. Not half good, not half bad, but pure. And this stands in contrast to the envy and the selfish ambition and the lying of the one who has false wisdom. Remember how they welcome people in the church who give them some personal advantage. But not so with the godly wise, with the heavenly wisdom. God's glory is on the minds of Christians. Because God's wisdom is pure. Next, God's wisdom is peaceable. Remember, in the previous example, there was a strife that was created between the rich and the poor because the poor were ignored and the rich were being encouraged, even though they were ungodly. But Christians are promoting, instead of bitter envy and strife, they're promoting peace. Envy and selfishness create chaos. True wisdom promotes peace. Peace between an angry God and a sinful man with the blood of Jesus Christ. That's where the focus ought to be. More, God's wisdom is gentle. Heaven's wisdom will make a Christian reasonable in judging. That's going back to Matthew 5. Wisdom does not allow Christians to be extremists. Christians could easily be persuaded to do what is good and persuaded to run away from evil. God's wisdom is humble. Instead of being obstinate, instead of being service motivated, many were obstinate. But Christians must be ready to yield to other people's needs. What a contrast. The leaders of the church said, look, if you're rich, come on in. Come to the front. you can get a job for my child, you deserve special place. But humility says, what are the needs of the people? How can we meet those needs? Christians are approachable. That's what wisdom will do. And by the way, this word humble means to submit to military discipline. Not fight, but submit. More, God's wisdom is full of mercy and good fruit. Instead of the idea of what I can get from you, wisdom will require, what can I give to you? What kind of fruits can I bear in my life so that will be a blessing to you? What mercy can I show to you? So wisdom is practical help for others. Look at Matthew chapter 7, verse 16. Together, you will know them by their fruits. Do men gather grapes from thorn bushes or figs from thistles? Even so, every good tree bears good fruit, but a bad tree bears bad fruit. What comes from the Christian life? Good fruit. Next, God's wisdom is without partiality. Wise Christians must show no partiality and must not ignore the poor. People of different races, people of different social status, and we can include today vaccinated status or nationalities. They're not to be treated with partiality. That is hurtful. More, God's wisdom is without hypocrisy. Remember that word. Christians have to be sincere. The word sincere came from that pot that was made that didn't have any cracks in it. When the pot was made and there was a crack in it, they'd have to fill it up and then glaze it over, but they could not put on it sincere without wax. Christians are not fake. It shouldn't be. What can you see here? You can see the Apostle James was insisting that wisdom was not a feeling in your head or a large amount of education, but wisdom was practical and seen and experienced by people. What a total contrast these actions are from the world's idea of wisdom, which is no wisdom at all. It's just skill to manipulate and control other people. Whereas godly wisdom is service to others. And by the way, God is the only source of true wisdom. Every other wisdom comes from the devil in one form or another. Everything is viewed from this world, not from the vantage point, but not from the vantage point of heaven and a holy God. That's the devil's way. But the Christian way is different. Proverbs chapter 2, verse 6 says, together, for the Lord gives wisdom. From his mouth come knowledge and understanding. There's only one wisdom. There's a lot of fake wisdom. And it's even called wisdom. I mean, some of the dumbest people I know in this world have PhDs behind their names. They've got a lot of knowledge, but not a lot of wisdom. Why? Because they don't know the Word of God. Think of what we're doing in our society to all of these people who now can't identify who they are. They don't know if they're man or woman. And our doctors with the PhDs are saying, well, you could be anything you want. They're deceiving others. They're deceiving people. That's destructive. That's not wisdom. That's foolishness. Regardless of the degrees you have behind your name. Now, the fruit of righteousness is sown. That's the wisdom acting out, and it makes peace. When the fruit of righteousness, which is sown, which flows from wisdom, is sown, its fruit is peace. And the more it is sown, the better the crop of righteousness. There is no bitterness. just blessings. So what can we learn here? Three things. Make it your goal in life to be wise and to produce righteousness. Righteousness that is demonstrable, that can be seen. This is the theme of James. Live your faith so the world can see. Don't talk about faith. Too many people talk about faith. Most of North America say they have faith in Jesus, but they don't even know Jesus. How can they have faith in him? Faith is lived. And Jesus said that wisdom is, and the interesting word, phrase, he says, wisdom is justified by her children, meaning that the produce that comes from wisdom is righteousness. Wisdom produces righteousness. Second, the world's wisdom says that those who live simply and peaceably are miserable. So if you didn't know it, your life is miserable because you live a simple life and you trust God and you're faithful to your husband and your wife and you raise your children in the fear of the Lord and you take time with them and you're not overwhelmed by pursuing money, 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 money. They see you as being foolish. Why pay for education when you can get it free from the state, which of course is never free, but costs a lot more both financially and consequentially? That's the world's wisdom. God's wisdom is different. You don't have to follow their standards. They will reject God's wisdom to their own hurt. The truth is this, brothers and sisters, there's no greater joy in life than to living in peace and simplicity. I think you can't go on expensive holidays, something's wrong with you. Think you don't have so much money in the bank, there's something wrong with you. But living in peace and simplicity, to love your family and to want to be around them, for them to want to be around you, what a pleasant thing that is. But these leaders were setting a bad example. And finally, so righteousness based on wisdom. And so it with zeal, like the Lord had zeal when he came. Look at what he said, Psalm 69, verse 9, final verse, together. Because zeal for your house has eaten me up, and the reproaches of those who reproach you have fallen on me. He's saying, look, I'm willing to go into the house of God to do what's right. And by the way, the reason this verse is interesting is that the Lord went after and chased people out of the temple. He wasn't saying, oh, come on in, or give me a cut of the money so I can have some resources for my retirement. He said, out of here, my house shall be called the house of prayer for all the nations. And what you're doing here is no good. He didn't look for his personal advantage. So use your wisdom to bring men and women into the house of God to worship and glorify God by making peace between an angry God and a sinful man through the blood of Jesus Christ. Let's conclude. You need wisdom, heavenly wisdom, to live well and speak well. Not the hellish, selfish wisdom from the devil. Wisdom will make you sow righteousness and reap a 10, 25, 100-fold of righteousness. So brothers and sisters in Jesus Christ, watch out if you are selfish, if you're self-serving. Remember what those things lead to, lying. It'll lead you to crush others so you can get what you want. That is the world's wisdom. That's the conniving ways of the devil. Remember, though, you were saved by grace through faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. You have heaven as your home. You have the hope of heaven that no one can take away. That's ingrained in your soul. You have a sense of eternity in your hearts. So live for him. Live wisely for him. Ask him for heavenly wisdom. Use heavenly wisdom to bring glory to the one who has already made you richer than you can imagine. And then remind the world that they need God's wisdom as well, or they will die in their selfishness and spend eternity in hell. And finally, if you are not a Christian, You only have this world's wisdom that leads to envy, selfish ambition, and lying, which ultimately leads to hell. But if you ask God to forgive you your sins because Jesus died for sinners, he will not only save you from hell, but he will give you wisdom. Wisdom to live your life for the glory of the one who will come to take you to be with him one day. Let us pray. Thank you, Father, for your words. Thank you, Father, that you have given us heavenly wisdom. Save us from holding on to what this world calls wisdom, for their wisdom is rooted in wickedness and greed, corruption, envy, lying. Instead, Lord, help us to reflect that wisdom that promotes peace and worship, that peace that promotes your kingdom, and that peace that gives us joy in our lives that no one can take away. We ask these things in Jesus' name. Amen.